Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we're going to talk about the humanity of Jesus. Just how human is Jesus? Do you get uncomfortable thinking about the humanity of Jesus? I mean, in some ways, we know we're not supposed to say that, and we're not supposed to be uncomfortable. But when you think about the earthly ministry of Jesus, and you think about, you know, what you're supposed to say about how human Jesus was, does it get a little uncomfortable to think about Jesus laughing at jokes? I mean, there's maybe a part of us that would want to say, he always knows the punchline. He created all of the things that would be funny. Why would anything catch him by surprise? But if he was human, completely human, and lived as a human, did he laugh? Did he joke around with the people that he ministered to and with? What about playing games? Did Jesus play games? Did Jesus win every time at the games? Wow, that's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Was that true of Jesus as a little boy growing up? Was it true as Jesus as an adult in his earthly ministry? Was he holding back and letting other people win to try to make them feel good? Wow, interesting. What about dancing? Did Jesus dance? And you say, oh, well, absolutely not. And certainly not in any kind of sensual way. But the Bible makes it clear that David danced in worship. And we would understand from Jewish tradition that it would have been very common for the Jews to have danced in celebration or even in worship of God. Did Jesus dance? Huh. What about this? Did Jesus go to the bathroom? Obviously, we didn't have bathrooms in the same way we do today, most likely, but it's like, oh, I don't even want to think about that. But it's absolutely true that Jesus had to be 100% man, human in every way, which means even when the Bible doesn't say that he did some of these things, it's absolutely certain that he did do them. You know, we don't know 100% sure about him laughing or joking around, but we have every reason to think that he did. So let's think about what the Bible does say. Does the Bible give us some good clues about the humanity of Jesus? What do we know about humans, and what do we know that was true about Jesus? Well, let's think about the way that he was born. Think about Christmas time, and we get all emotional and sentimental, maybe thinking about baby Jesus coming, God with us, the baby coming. And even some of the songs that we hear during this Christmas time of the year, maybe they're a little confusing. Right? Remember that Mary, Did You Know song? And, you know, it's like, oh, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. And then, you know, you're going, oh, wait, I'm not sure. God doesn't have a face. You know, God is a spirit. Well, certainly that's true of God the Father. And certainly that's true of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was the God-man. He was fully human and fully divine. Wow. This is interesting to think about. But he was certainly born as a human baby. I mean, it was a miraculous conception. Sometimes we get a little tripped up when we use even the language of virgin birth, I think. But it's important for us to recognize and identify. Yes, it was a human gestation in the womb of Mary, and she delivered him, we would assume, just very normally. Obviously, we're humbled and amazed at the humility of the surroundings of his birth, but I think there's every reason to think it was a normal human birth. Jesus was a normal human baby. He didn't come out laughing. Would he have cried as a baby? Yes, he would have cried as a baby. Again, if you're a parent, you know sometimes the difference between hungry cry and angry cry. Jesus would not have done angry cry, because even though, as we're about to talk about, Jesus did have times of anger, his anger was always righteous. It was never with sin, intermingled with his anger. And so as a baby, you wouldn't have said, oh, he was having righteous anger, because his parents maybe were not knowing how to be parents of the God baby, God man. Wow. So amazing to think about. So when they fed Jesus, what was that like? Well, it was just like feeding a baby. And when he ate and drank, and even as a man, in the New Testament, we see him eating and drinking. We even see him eating and drinking after the resurrection, as he manifested himself to his disciples. Did Jesus ever sleep? Well, yes, of course he did. And we even have one of the great stories of Jesus when he was asleep in the back of the boat during the big storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they had to wake him up. He was so tired, just exhausted from the physical demands of his ministry, that he was sleeping through a storm in the Sea of Galilee, and they woke him up. Remember that great story? Lord, don't you care? We're about to die. And he looks around and says, hush, be still. And the storm stops. And they were even more afraid than when they were afraid of the storm. What about Jesus resting? Yeah, there was times of rest. He wanted to take his disciples away. He wanted to get to a lonely place and pray. And some of the times he said, you guys need rest. I need rest. We see him sitting at the well when he interacts with the woman at the well. He was hungry. He was tired. He was resting. What about human emotions? Do you see emotions in Jesus? And again, we kind of maybe are tempted to think, oh, well, his emotions weren't even real. But the Bible couldn't be clearer that he felt compassion. That's even the Greek word for guts. He had deep feelings down in his guts when he was telling the story of what it means to love your neighbor. The Good Samaritan story. But there's other stories where, like the rich young ruler, it says that Jesus felt love for him. He had these feelings of love and compassion, of joy, of wonder. It says he looked around and was amazed. He did have, there's a couple of stories that mention specifically that Jesus was angry. And again, we know he never sinned, and so there was no self-centered motivations within that anger. It was pure, and it could certainly be qualified and called and described as righteous anger. I remember one of my good friends at church said, yeah, righteous anger may exist, but I have never experienced it. And I can certainly relate to that, where you just kind of go, wow, even when it seems like it's righteous, there seems to be maybe some sinful motivations mingled in. Well, Jesus never had that, but he did have the anger. He certainly had joy as he was worshiping, as he was with his disciples, as he was resting in God's care for him, even as Hebrews 12:2 tells us that even at the cross, he was looking for the joy that was set before him, even while he was enduring the shame of what was going on at the cross. Remember the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And that was at the story of the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus was completely human. Now, some of the things are harder. We're not sure sometimes, because he was the God-man, of just, was he doing his miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or was he doing his miracles in his own divine power and authority? And sometimes the New Testament isn't so clear about that. And after our break, we're going to come back and look at that. And then we're also going to consider, why does this matter? I mean, it's interesting to think about the humanity of Jesus, but does it matter, really, that Jesus was human? Does it matter, as some of the debates throughout church history, was he kind of human, mostly human, or was he all the way human? Is that a big deal or not a big deal? And what we're going to end up saying is, your very soul is at stake as to whether or not Jesus was fully human. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and consider that and more applications of the humanity of Jesus Christ after our break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Kratz in just a moment as he continues to talk about Jesus being fully human while also being fully God. And it really hits home how this impacts our daily walk as Christians, doesn't it? Listen, if you're wrestling with how to live out your faith while dealing with your own humanity, then let me tell you about a resource we have available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's by Dr. Jerry Bridges. It's called The Discipline of Grace. And it's not just another try harder Christian self-help book. Dr. Bridges gets right to the heart of what we've been talking about here, how we balance God's grace with our daily responsibility to grow in holiness. Because, being a Christian is about more than just accepting salvation at some point in your life. It's about regularly becoming more like Christ. But we all struggle with this, don't we? We can easily lose sight of grace in favor of just trying to discipline ourselves into godliness. So pick up Dr. Jerry Bridges' The Discipline of Grace right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. I highly recommend it. And speaking of becoming more like Jesus, have you heard about everything we're doing here at Fortis Institute? We're not just sitting on our hands watching the culture shift. We're standing firm and equipping believers just like you with solid biblical content. And here's what's amazing. You can get in on this and be a part of it absolutely free. Just become a Fortis Insider, give us your email address, and 5 days a week, we're going to send you an email with all of the content that we're releasing for that day. 7 pieces of new content every single day, videos and podcasts and resources that will help you navigate this brave new world we're living in. But wait, there's more. All of that content, well, it lives at Fortis Plus. That's our app, which is also completely free. No subscription model here. You'll get access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content, plus those 7 new pieces of content every single day. Whether it's daily news or deep theological insights, we're bringing together some of the strongest voices in biblical teaching to help you stand firm in your faith. FortisPlus.org. Download the app right now to your mobile device. Absolutely free. And the reason that it's free is because of people just like you. We can't do it alone. If you believe in what we're doing and you want to see more Christians equipped to stand strong in their faith, then we would ask if you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what it would look like in your life to do that at fortisinstitute.org and learn how you can join us in this mission. And now let's get back to more from Dr. John Kratz as he continues to discuss the humanity of Christ. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back to Integrated. Today we are considering and pondering the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he fully human? Was he just as human as us, or kind of human, or mostly human? And we have said sometimes the Bible's crystal clear about Jesus eating like a human or drinking like a human or having friends and relationships like humans do, emotions. We ended right before our break by saying some things in his earthly ministry are a little difficult to nail down. Did he do all of his miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit, or was he doing them in his own divine authority and power? Well, we do have a couple of clues that say that Jesus was really living his life as a man. Now, it's true, he is the God-man. And like I said, some things aren't quite as clear. Did he know that because he dipped into his own deity? Or did he know that because the Spirit made it clear? Or was he just being very observant that, you know, sometimes when it says the people were thinking, how can he do this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? In Mark chapter 2, at the story of the man that's lowered down from the roof, and Jesus forgives their sins, and he knows that they're questioning, you know, what authority he's doing that by. How did he know? Is it because he's God, or is it because it was just obvious? Here are the verses I was thinking about. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, these are Peter's words in the Pentecost sermon, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Peter's saying, hey, this was the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came back from the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit came upon him without measure. And it's important for us to recognize Jesus prayed and lived as a human and did his mighty works by the power of God. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus says, hey, I'm casting out demons. He's not saying right there, because I am God and I'm doing it out of my own divine authority, but I'm doing it by the Spirit of God, which also testifies to his divine authority as well, because he's able to do these great works by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's now consider, though, why does this matter? Why is it important that Jesus was human and was a man? So let me take you to a couple of places in the scripture which highlight this and really maybe give us some insight into the so what, why this matters. Well, let's just see one of the great texts that talks about Jesus being born as a human. And it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Yeah, it's not just so that we can relate to Jesus. This becomes a salvation issue. Jesus was born human. He was born of woman. That's very much showing us that his birth was a very human birth. Mary was a very human young girl, you know, according to tradition, maybe a young teenager, 13, 14 years old. And yet she's giving birth to Jesus that very first Christmas morning. That is amazing. He was born under the law. The Old Testament law, the Old Covenant law, he fulfilled it. He perfectly obeyed it. He took its curses upon himself. Well, here's another text to consider. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're now considering the applications of the humanity of Christ, and we're considering why this matters, that Jesus was human and fully man. And it says in First Peter chapter 2, he committed, let me go back to verse 21. He says, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Well, these are wonderful words, and one of their effects is to say, when Jesus suffered unjustly and he responded in a godly way, that actually is meaningful to you and to me. That is an example for us to follow. And I think we would say, if Jesus was not fully human, if he was always, quote unquote, dipping into the deity, you might say, well, that's nothing I can relate to. I can't be, you know, falsely accused and unjustly accused and dip into a divine nature. And therefore I can respond graciously and quietly and meekly and humbly. Jesus can do it because he's God. I can't do that. But friends, Jesus lived as a man. And this was an example that you and I can relate to. And Peter sets Jesus before us so that we would live like Jesus. You know, remember those old bracelets that came out many years ago that would say WWJD, what would Jesus do? Maybe better for us to say, it was a little too complicated to add all these letters, but what did the Bible say that Jesus did? Put that on your bracelet. But is that a valid thing? Yes, it is valid. What did Jesus do? His example is our ultimate example to follow because Jesus lived as a human when he was among us. And I love the verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Jesus really does get it. He really did live amongst us. He really does care. And it's not just theoretical, it's actual. The author of Hebrews also spells out the humanity of Christ in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, which says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What was it like when Jesus was tempted? Well, Jesus didn't sin, and so Satan kept turning up the heat. And he turned up the heat to such a degree that Jesus can relate to you and me. Even though he didn't have a sinful nature, he didn't have that internal tug towards sin like we do. He relates completely. And I also think of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus can relate to us. Jesus is an example. But most importantly, Jesus was fully human so that he could live a perfect life and fulfill God's laws completely. But his death on the cross was a substitute for sinful human beings like you and like me. Yes, he was fully divine, so he could bear God's wrath, but his humanity was vital. It wasn't enough for an angel to come down and, you know, suffer and die on a cross, as if angels could die. No, he had to be human. He had to be able to die. He had to relate to us completely and perfectly in order to be our substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. And we thank God for that truth. Rejoice in it, believe in it, and live following the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.